ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It no longer has any economic problems because of Fukushima radiation. Everybody snapped up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. We're also on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Well, in fact, we're also on... Mate, can I, for a moment, try to stress to people the drastic importance of the continued survival of AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Without them, I would not exist. The show would not be here. And many others that you can look on in the archives and previous shows that have been on are simply top-notch radio. It's just that simple. If you want the good stuff, you got to come over here to AFR, and we archive everything for you so that you, even if you're not there at the time when things are live, you can still join in, you can still listen, and you can still spread those links around to people. Support American Freedom Radio by listening to it, by sharing it, by putting it in front of other people. Okay, have it on in your shop or your cafe or something. You know, expose as many people to it as you can, and most importantly, if you're capable of contributing in some way, they're looking for volunteers, mentor you into producing radio and all of that kind of stuff. They've got the business, they've got the experience, huge long track records of busting down doors in the truth movement and making sure that the great commentary of people like myself and my very special guest today, Chris Green, gets to your ears. So if you want to volunteer, you email AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. And they are also in need, dire need, of new equipment. If you are a techie or if you have some coin that you want to get rid of and you want to give it to a good cause, don't give it to some starving children in Africa, because that money will simply go to a vaccine program that will make them fracking ill and or sterilized. Give it to American Freedom Radio, the people who expose those particular programs. Charity should be put into those who really, really act charitably. Have any single one of you ever paid to listen to American Freedom Radio? No. All I'm asking is give something back to those who deserve it. Christopher Green is my guest from greenraveradio.com. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny, thanks for having me, my friend. We had a good hour or so there on my program, so always love to be on your show. And yeah, we need help. I mean, look, American Freedom Radio, AFR, needs your help. Vinny Eastwood needs your help. I need your help. We can't and do not do this alone. You are just as much a part of the movement and a part of what we do as we are. You know, it's amazing, Vinny. I get hundreds, thousands of emails literally from around the world on a daily basis. People sending us tips, sending me articles, sending me videos, literally all over the world. And I can barely read through them all. Investigating the truth, you know, showing us what's happening. And we need your support. So I couldn't agree with that more.
Mm-mm. So it's either there's three ways people can contribute. There's the free way for those who have neither money nor time, which is just sharing links and what have you. There's the cost way, which is if you have money but no time, to donate. And there is those with free time and no money, which is volunteering. You know, so whatever situation you're in, you're capable of contributing. And this is another thing. And I wanted to focus this hour with you, Chris, about how both you and I kind of got into alternative media. Was it because somebody showed up to support us and gave us all our equipment and told us to go out and do something? No.
You know, actually, Vinny, you know, CNN cut me a gigantic check. I don't know if they contacted you, but yeah, they just gave me a few million dollars. Said, look, Chris, you know, we'd love for you to leave your cushy position in corporate America, and we'd like you to go on air on YouTube and start videos. Just start speaking to the public and see if they listen. Obviously, I'm joking. But yeah, no, none of us got into this because of financial means. We didn't. I mean, honestly, the great majority, maybe there's a few bad apples out there, but the great majority of us really just love what we do. We're passionate about the topics. We're passionate about freedom, liberty, getting the truth out there to the American people, the people of the world. And, you know, there's not really, a tremendous amount of financial gain by doing what we do. It's also what makes it really beautiful and meaningful. And it's why, again, it resonates with the people. And it's why we need your support, because, you know, we care about getting this information out to the world. And it's exactly what we do. So I couldn't do it. I'm amazed, blessed, literally every day. I just give thanks to the fact that we've got so many amazing people that support what we do. Couldn't do it without them. Wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here, Danny, if we didn't have that. So it's an incredible opportunity. We also owe it to the public because of that opportunity to do a fantastic job. And it's why we work so hard.
Well, it's an obligation and a duty, essentially. And what I found is people in this line of work, they start off without any support. But because they started off anyway, they started getting and garnering said support that they need, that they thought that they needed in the first place. There are others, on the other hand, who say, I need others to do my work for me. I need a team. I need this. I need that or the other. No, you don't. You just need yourself, and just start doing it. And then all those things that you thought you might have needed, which you really didn't, start showing up anyway. And they're not showing up because you absolutely desperately need them. They show up because they're capable of helping you to evolve and improve and expand. That's what the audience and our colleagues in the truth movement and collaborating with other people is really all about. It's about coming out of yourself, you taking individual responsibility for any particular issue, speaking about it, promoting it, and then all of a sudden it comes back to you.
Yeah, I think the amazing thing, too, is, and I don't know if you had a similar experience or not, Vinny, but, you know, the moment, and I'm just talking from personal experience, I just kind of blocked everything out, blocked out all the fear and how am I going to make ends meet? You know, this is kind of crazy. The minute I just kind of put that aside and said, you know what, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it. I love it. I'm passionate about it. I believe in it. And just kind of put everything else aside, you can't help but be successful. And you can't help but grow what you're doing. And that's what I honestly feel that very few people really do that. And I encourage, you know, you don't have to become a radio host per se or somebody that does what we do, but take that same analogy and pursue it in your own life. Focus on what you love, what you're passionate about. Block out all the criticism. Because I can't tell you how much, you know, criticism and how much noise, you know, surrounded me when I started this thing. And people are just like, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. Are you crazy? You just got to block that out. I mean, you have to honestly trust in yourself and trust that, you know, this is just me personally. I do think there's a guiding light out there, too. And, you know, I really do feel like, you know, it's not like it's just a personal journey, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's kind of like a... I don't know about you, Chris, but I feel like I've got some kind of a guardian angels watching over me. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like some kind of an ethereal belief structure. I'm talking about every time that I've ever needed something, somebody comes out and gives me what I need as sort of like a representation of my guardian angel. Like everybody's my guardian angel, whether they like it or not.
Let's dig into that for a minute, because I honestly agree with that completely. I don't know if this is really discussed, but I can totally identify with that because, you know, I've been doing this about, I don't know, a little over 3 years now, I think. And it has not been an easy road every step of the way. I mean, honestly, it's always a struggle, you know, just doing what we do. Just the sheer fact of what we do, what we talk about is risky, is criticized, puts us in, you know, people would say danger at times. But honestly, it's almost like we do have guardian angels because, you know, I've been in a few spots over the course of the 3 years where it's like, oh my God, like I do not know how this is going to work. You know, how is this going to come together? And it's honestly like through the grace of whether or not you believe in God or not, through the grace of God, that some of this has come together. And I don't know, that's just something that I've personally experienced. And, you know, that to me carries a lot of weight.
Mm. It comes down to one of the words that has kind of been buzzing around and sort of become a lot more important of late is the word synchronicity, i.e. meaning a meaningful coincidence. There have been times where I've been sitting at home and I've been really starving, and I have no food in the cupboards, you know, broke, bones of my ass. And a mate will come around with a pie and say, wow, it's amazing. And then I'll finish up a week of work at a really, really good show, but I feel really burnt out and think to myself, oh, I really need a drink. And then a mate will come around with a couple of beers for me. And I'll be stuck at home because I can't afford to buy gas for my car. And then a mate will call up and say, hey, Vinny, do you need $100 gas vouchers? And it happens every day. Every single day. And it's been getting more intense of late. All my needs, all my hopes, all my desires somehow get picked up by those around me without me even needing to say anything or do anything. And I think that's maybe happening because I'm doing what I'm doing, because I'm doing the right thing, kind of like in step with God, as it were. I mean, if Jesus had a camera, he'd be exposing scumbaggery with it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm by no means putting words in your mouth, and you know, I always hate when people kind of do that. But yeah, I honestly believe, honestly, what we're doing is righteous. I really do believe it's good. And, you know, I think things do come together. And like you said, we've found that things do come together. And there are people, you know, through the grace of God, whatever you want to call it, through goodwill, charity, friendship, sharing the word, that all seems to come together when you're doing something, in my opinion at least, is righteous, is good. And, you know, what I really care about, Vinny, at the end of the day, you know, I get really angry and stuff. People say, oh, Christopher, you know, we love you for your rants and, you know, how you get all angry and stuff. I genuinely care, Vinny, about the people, not just Americans. I care about the planet people. I care about humanity and this little thing known as the human condition that we all fight and struggle against on a daily basis. And it's one of the reasons why I do, one of the main reasons I do what I do. And, you know, when I started listening to that, just what, you know, they say it's, I don't know if it's your guardian angel or your gut instinct or whatever speaks to you. When I really started to own that a little bit, really listen to it, but more importantly, not fear it and start to put it into action. Honestly, it's opened up my life and it's amazing. It's an amazing experience.
Well, it's kind of like when you're working for scumbags, as we both have, you feel like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Then you quit. You start doing what you're supposed to be doing, and then you start becoming who you're supposed to be. And all of a sudden, all those doubts and all those bad feelings disappear. And everything that you were looking for in the first place suddenly shows up. You know, it's kind of like getting out of your own way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we're talking and speaking to, you know, obviously we have the platform to do it. So here we are, we're, you know, on the air and we're talking about this. I don't think that this is just being shared by us. I think this is what's happening around the planet right now. I mean, honestly, the more people are listening to themselves and questioning things and just honestly bringing down the barrier of fear and stepping out to the unknown a little bit, this is what's transforming our society. This is what's, I think, can transform things for the better. And it's why I always talk about it being an incredible opportunity for change. It's one of the reasons why me personally, you know, I attack the establishment and I attack what I see to be so wrong with the way things are governed, you know, how people are manipulated, how we're sold to want and desire things that we don't need. And, you know, I guess there's a very spiritual aspect to that.
Well, and another thing, just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you're religious.
That's true.
Right? I mean, I consider myself kind of I don't know. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. But when you come out and you say that you believe in God or you're a Christian or something of that nature, there's something within a lot of other people who simply say that is a form of brainwashing and they don't like it. And I include myself in that. However, you have a look at some of the elements that are actually correct and right about religion, you know, moral ethic, for instance, doing the right thing, treating your neighbor as your brother, not coveting your neighbor's wife, etc. These are things that have simply produced a morally backed social currency, essentially. However, it's all been a facade so that you can be kept under control and not do anything bad to the bad people that are controlling your religion. So, if you take all those good elements and you combine them into yourself and you have no preacher and you have no deity who tells you what to do, and if you're simply doing what feels right in line with your own heart and your own soul, you get the universe's tick of approval, and all of a sudden everything becomes so much easier. You know, that's what I've found, really. And including making friends for me has never really been that hard. Mm-hmm. Being popular, on the other hand, that's always been a challenge of mine. you kind of get ostracized from your family. Christopher Green is my very special guest today for the first hour, and in the second hour we'll be having Chris Dwayne from Silver Shield, Silver Bullet, and we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. Can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Being ostracized and alienated, this is something, Chris, you mentioned before we come on to break. I want to hear your story about how you kind of got over that. And more to the point, how did it manifest itself?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I've got a pretty genuinely supportive family. So I guess I am pretty lucky in that regard. But, you know, just being honest, though, I mean, even the fact that they're supportive and, you know, they trust in my instincts and all that kind of thing. There was a good part of them saying, you know, hey, like, why are you doing this, man? You could be on the next flight to New York City, work for Goldman Sachs, pull $300K a year, and move on your merry way. I mean, that's not me talking myself up. I've got the resume to back that. So there was a lot of just kind of criticism, even if it was kind of behind the scenes and not, you know, upfront, you know. I don't think they were trying to position it negatively to me or anything like that. But, you know, that's something you just were kind of aware of, or that I was aware of. And, you know, it was very challenging at times, because honestly, the fact that I'm involved in what I do today and I do what I do, I've just been following my heart, Vinny. As cliche and kind of funny as that sounds, I've just been following my instincts, what I really believe in, what I care about. And honestly, I never did it for the financial rewards or the financial gain or anything like that. It's because I feel like it matters, and I feel like it's my purpose. If people say, you know, hey, that they think they have a calling to do something, this pretty much is my calling, and I'm very satisfied with that. And, you know, the reward has really just been what I've gotten back, just from the entire experience, what I get back from the audience, and just what I get back intellectually, emotionally, physically from doing something you really care about and love. And I honestly don't know if most people can say that, and I can say that. So it's pretty cool to be in that kind of position. But I do know what it feels like to, you know, be a little alienated and to take a lot of criticism. I've never been someone to really listen to that. I've always been more the type of person to kind of walk the fire. and just not be afraid. I was an athlete for many years, and you know, I'd like to think of myself as a leader, and I was always a leader, and you know, on the athletic field, and I think that's translated into the, I guess, the work field, if you want to call it that.
Well, in terms of the isolation, and of kind of like when I started, it was like I hated my job, not because I wasn't getting paid. I mean, my last paycheck was like $4,000 after tax, and I got like $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers as one of the bonuses. Even that wasn't enough to bribe me to keep me in the workforce, because I'd become so disillusioned with the whole system as a whole, and all these people that I was working with, you know, I was just kind of like getting really angry and not happy with the situation. And essentially, I just thought, oh, freaking slaves and scum, and they're not doing anything right and whatever. So instead of being bitter about it and letting it dominate my life, I simply changed direction and started doing what I wanted to do and started hanging out with the people that I wanted to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have a single friend who doesn't know what I'm talking about, doesn't support me, or doesn't inspire me. You know what I'm saying? It's like cutting off the dead wood. You suddenly realize that, hey, I didn't need all those drinking mates. I didn't need all of those other people that I was just getting wasted with on the weekends and talking about nothing. Those people were unnecessary.
Yeah, and I totally can identify with the disillusionment, you know, kind of sitting, you know, in the corporate world, just going like, God, like, look at all these drones around me, slaves, et cetera, where it's almost kind of a negative feeling. But yeah, cutting the dead wood. I guess what's important to me, and I think you can relate to, obviously, is that, you know, what's important is having a meaningful life. You know, we spend so much of our time working, or what Americans or people around the world think they, you know, they have to do. Like, I'm going to go work the corporate job, and they spend, and I think waste, a good portion of their life doing something that, in my opinion, isn't meaningful. And that doesn't mean that it's not okay, that it's not right, you know, for some people. There's anything wrong necessarily with being a corporate person or something like that. It just wasn't for me. It wasn't my life path. It wasn't my calling. And I just reached a point personally, I think a lot of us maybe within the movement, where, you know, just kind of being honest with yourself too. Like, if you see things and don't like things the way they are, then you're insane not to change them. And it's not just that I've seen that in my own life, but I see that in the world around me. And so I legitimately want to change the world, as corny as it sounds. But I do want to make the world a better place. And so I struggle daily. That's why I've put out thousands of videos. I want to show the world that. I want to show them how wrong things are. I want to show them how these people don't have your self-interest at heart, that they're evil. I want to show them how predictable their nature is, how evil their nature is, at least in my opinion. And that's why I've made countless videos saying, look, you know, right after the financial collapse, expect war. Expect that to be the natural progression. I made a video a few weeks ago, said, right after the U.S. election 2012, expect an attack. Days later, you know, Israel is, you know, bombing Gaza. I mean, it's so predictable. And of course, I've studied this stuff in great detail as well. But I really just want to make the world a better place. I think it can be so much better, so much more fulfilling, and so much more meaningful. There's so much goodness and hope and great things in people. I want everybody to realize that. I want everybody to feel the way that I do. I want everybody to trust themselves. And, you know, I think things can be genuinely better. And I hope maybe it's an idealistic, utopic viewpoint. Maybe we never get there. I still think we can. I still think it can be better. I still think that we can change. I really believe that.
Well, the other thing is that you get disillusioned, then you get into the truth movement. And once you get into the truth movement, some truthers get disillusioned, right? Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Jack Blood, and I'm always very positive and all of that kind of stuff. And Jack Blood's always very realistic, you know? And he says to me, Vinny, there's no such thing as utopia. It'll never happen. And my perspective is, yeah, I agree with you, Jack. However, just because something can never happen in the way that you wish it doesn't mean you shouldn't try, right? I've always found that the most amazing things that have ever been done by humanity have been things that other humans have thought was impossible. The Wright brothers were told that that getting a cylinder, an aluminium cylinder, to fly from America to the United Kingdom was unrealistic.
You know how many tries did that take before it was a success? Hundreds? Thousands?
Yeah. You know, my perspective is, who cares whether or not we're actually going to really be successful and get what we want at the end of the day? The point is, we're working towards what we want as opposed to stopping ourselves from doing so because it's unrealistic. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you have to put into action. Just because you think it sounds unrealistic, I don't know, maybe it's naive. Maybe Jack Blood can argue that. But I don't know. My viewpoint is, well, you know what? I'll die trying. You know, I mean, I'm willing to take that risk, and I'm willing to work towards something better. I'm not just going to talk about it or think about it. I'm actually going to do it. And that's why I think people like you, Vinny, and I'd like to think people like myself are examples to others that it can be done. And there are people stepping out on a limb and making changes that I think can better the world. And I hope that I'm a positive example to that. You know, and I hope they look at Vinny Eastwood and go, wow, this guy defied the odds. I mean, look at what they're doing. Look at how much goodness this is bringing to society. Look how people are being educated and they're being exposed to information. And I get countless emails on this. People say, Christopher, I've listened to you for over a year and you've really woken me up, to what's happening. And it's changed me. And honestly, that is so fulfilling, and that's such an amazing reward. It's not a financial reward at all, but it's an awesome feeling. And I get so much more back, as, again, cliche as it sounds, I get so much more back from my audience than I do anything else. And that's in the midst of, danger, death threats, personal attacks. I mean, I can just go down the list. It's not exactly easy doing what we do. But if you want to really know why I do it, it's because for all the reasons I listed. And honestly, I do think it makes a difference. And I'm willing to fight for that. And I'm willing to pursue that pretty much at all costs.
Well, it's leadership, essentially. What I realized, I think maybe about 6 months ago, is I was trying to sort of be abashed and just go, I don't want to lead anybody. I want everybody to be personal responsibility, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is I am a leader, and I have helped so many people who haven't done what I've done do more and develop as people in themselves. That is what a leader is supposed to do. He's supposed to lead from the front, lead by example, and help others to gain knowledge and wisdom so that eventually they will not need to be led anymore and will be capable of charting their own course through life. That's my ultimate goal, to only be here as long as I'm needed and try and teach people that they don't need me anymore and they never really did in the first place.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty beautiful, really. And I view, all of us within the movement, although it's, kind of funny. Sometimes I don't even like the term the movement, but I view all of us as leaders really kind of standing together in trying to accomplish something positive. But our audience is just as much an equal to us, and they're leaders too. And I think there's an empowerment perspective to what it is we do that I know people realize, and I also hope people realize. And I really think that things can be better than they are. And the path that we're on, the trajectory that we're on, is a devastating path. It hasn't ended well, and it's not going to end well. It's not working. I mean, we can look at it from all these perspectives. You know, my background was an economic perspective, so of course I'm focused on the financial picture. So I'm exposing the debt collapse and sovereign defaults and how the capital markets are rigged, et cetera. But it's so much bigger than that. And that's what people are realizing, that the path that we're on really is, I've said many times before, it's a path of self-destruction. It doesn't end positively. We need to understand that now and change. Let's not be afraid to say, you know what, America, we're broke. Countries around the world, Europe, Greece, wherever you are in the world, if you're broke, you're broke. Tell yourself you're broke. You can't pay for all these entitlements. You can't take care of an upside-down pyramid. It's not going to happen. So let's change things. Let's change the structure. And that's the biggest problem that I see, is that we are structurally insolvent, structurally not sound at the very core, whether or not we're talking about the financial system or we're just talking about the moral system, what's guiding us. I mean, this is not sound at all. So, you know, what I hope to see is I want to see people take the bull by the horns and take responsibility for their own lives. Take responsibility for their own freedom, take responsibility for their own country, take responsibility for people, for humanity, stop complaining, do something about it. Actions speak louder than words. And, you know, that's my hope.
Well, I think this is something we all need to strive for. And going back to the subject of Jack Blood, he's had such a massive experience in the truth movement and collaborated with all the biggest and the best, you know, from David Icke to G. Edward Griffin, has shown American Freedom Radio and has been doing so for a long period of time without losing an even keel, without turning into some form of egotistical douchebag. And I asked him, you know, Jack, how did you accomplish this? You know, what's your advice for new budding radio show hosts such as myself? And he says, well, number one, drink. If I didn't drink, I would have gone crazy long ago. All right? So just remember to know how to blow off some steam once in a while. And secondly, take the money. You know, if somebody supports what you're doing and they say, here, take $20, take $30, take $100, take $1,000 or whatever. Don't say, okay, I'm just not in for the money or anything like that. Trust me, take the money. If you don't take the money, then you're not going to be around to provide truth and freedom for people anymore anyway. That's what it's really about accepting the support for the thing that you know is right and just. We'll be right back. Christopher Green, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you loved was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean anything. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around. I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Black sunrise, black sunrise.
Welcome
shadow
back.
Coming over the sky.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And of course, just give another big ups to American Freedom Radio. Thank you so much for giving me my show. Have you noticed that the American dream, you have to be asleep to believe it, or living in New Zealand?
That's hilarious.
Maybe we'll have to move to New Zealand. Maybe that's the answer. We've talked about that before, though. I know immigration's pretty tough because a lot of Americans actually would love to move there. I've actually never visited. And we're seeing this around the world. I don't know if you read this. I read this earlier this morning. If you buy a home of the equivalent of or a piece of land of $200,000 plus in Spain, for example, they're going to grant you citizenship now, because they have such a collapsed inventory of housing that they're trying to promote immigration. So if you got the bucks, you can become a Spanish citizen. It's kind of funny how that works, but I guess money talks.
Speaking of money talks, we talk on radio and we ask for money. And look at it this way. And I think you broached on this over the break, Chris. This is my perspective. Being a member of the new media, operating the media apparatus in New Zealand here as I do, is a job, okay? It's a fun job, but it's still a job. And at any job, you get paid, you have set work hours, and you get to take the weekends off. This is something that is very strange with this type of work because I no longer have an employer, hence I must make my own hours. I do not have some one person determining my paycheck, so I don't have to obey any one person. the opposite side of the spectrum is giving yourself time off. And this week after Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going to be taking a week off because, like you, Chris, and like many of other people in the truth movement, the elections have basically just burnt me out, and I'm going to basically need a week to recover from it. You know, I've never had a hangover as bad from alcohol as I have from elections, essentially. And it's going to take a lot of water.
Let me get in there a little bit and say why that is so important too, because we're so close to the action. We're so engrossed in it. I mean, honestly, you need to take a break from time to time to get some perspective too. And, you know, it's just interesting. We were talking over the break. It's, you know, what we do. Yeah, it's fun. We love it. We're passionate about it, but it still is, in a lot of respects, it's a job. And it's amazing how there's a financial disconnect there because, you know, we all worked in the corporate world. Well, you put in 50, 60, 70, maybe more hours, you know, a week. You expect to get a check at the end of the month, right? You get paid. Nobody says, well, how dare you get paid for what you're doing? I mean, how dare Vinnie Eastwood and Christopher Green get paid for their 90 hours of work at that corporate company they worked at? But you do what we do, and it's never been about the money, ever. And, you know, let's just face facts. It's not everybody. A good portion of our audience loves what they do. They support us. But you always get that, you know, faction of people, and there's just this criticism, like, how dare you try to put the lights on in your house so you can continue broadcasting? And it's because of our niche. It's because of the topics that we talk about. For example, we could talk about pop culture. In fact, I could do an entire Hollywood segment. It could be all about fashion and whatever people were concerned about, you know, Kim Kardashian, how great her ass is, you know, all the focus on that. I could be this.
She does have a great ass.
So I could be that guy, and people would be like, oh, yeah, you know, Christopher Green and Vinnie Eastwood are extremely successful. You know, they're entertainers. Or Vinnie Eastwood's he's a fantastic comedian. And they wouldn't have a problem with you keeping your lights on at your home. Because obviously, if you didn't have a place to lay your head at night, you wouldn't be able to go out on the road and, you know, give your comedy show. But for some reason, within the liberty and freedom movement, we get a lot of hate. And I see it. It's not us particularly. You'll see it with the Alex Jones and the Glenn Becks. I see it all the time where, you know, they'll be reporting. They work their asses off. And it's like, how dare you, Alex Jones, for driving a Dodge Charger? Did the liberty movement buy that for you? And it's such a jaded way to look at things. I mean, honestly, Alex Jones, for example, I'm sure the guy's not a perfect person, and I'm not lauding him or anything like that on the show today. But it's just like, come on, man. He deserves everything that he's done. He works his ass off. People should respect that, you know, like they respect anybody else. And so there is a disconnect, I think, within the genre that we're in that is a little bit unfortunate because we work our asses off. We put ourselves at incredible risk. And the difference is you're talking about how you got to take a little time off to get some perspective and just you're hungover, you know, from, you know, politics 2012. We don't really get that ever. We're working 24/7 around the clock. I know I work harder than I ever did in the corporate world. And the difference is it's a lot more difficult for us to turn it off and to tune it out and to kind of leave it. There's a lot of people in corporate America, they go to work and they come home and they forget about it while they're home. This stuff kind of just sticks with you. I mean, the rabbit hole digs so deep, it kind of just, it sits there. It's tough to turn it off, I think, for a lot of us. And it's sometimes, quite frankly, a burden. It's not like a huge plus because of the nature of our work. And that's not a complaint. I just think that that's the reality of what we do, and that's kind of what comes with what we do. And it's what honestly makes it meaningful as well.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you talked about how it's meaningful and whatever. And I think it's like I treat this as sort of much, much like employment. In that I want to have advancement in my career. I want to have enough money to pay the bills. I want to have financial freedom. But at the same time, I'm trying to help others do that as well. And at the same time, I also want to have a life. Because it's not very good having a career and having money if you don't have a life.
Absolutely. Yeah, life to me comes first. And yeah, you know, what's the point? Yeah, exactly. If you can't, life is so simple, Vinny. I mean, I know you know this, but it's so simple. I mean, honestly, family, friends, love, laughter. I mean, it's so simple, so basic. And, you know, it's a shame that all of us are victims to this, but we get caught up in the things that don't matter. Don't matter. I talked about this on my show a few days ago, but literally had a couple motorcycle guys go by me the other day over the weekend, and literally within seconds, big car accident. I pull up, I make the 911 call, happens right in front of me. One of the motorcycle guys is just buried right between an Escalade and another vehicle. I mean, literally went from, you know, riding his bike on a beautiful Arizona day to on the pavement. And I don't even know if the guy lived. That's how simple it is. It's that simple. So if you're not living a life that, in your opinion, is meaningful, that matters, and honestly putting it to the test and pushing it to the limits on a daily basis, you're doing yourself a disservice, because someday, and we will all meet the same fate, whether or not it's the fate that, you know, I just spoke of, in the unfortunate accident, this guy was driving his motorcycle, or it's something else. We all meet that same fate. And, you know, we owe it to ourselves to live a good life, and we owe it to ourselves to challenge ourselves and to put fear aside and to walk the fire. And that's something I encourage all of us to do. Walk the fire. Live a good life. Don't be afraid. Stand up for what you believe in. It's important. And hopefully that carries and resonates to other people, whether or not that be friends, family, our audience, children. That's to me what matters. It's about a meaningful life.
Yeah, and an enjoyable life. A life filled with smiles and laughter. I mean, we get angry, sure, from time to time, and that's a natural variation of it. As I mentioned, the key to balance is being able to swing to either extreme and being able to come back to the center again. And if you aren't capable of swinging yourself back, you know, getting angry, getting it out of your system, and then going back to being happy and laughing about stuff, you're going to go crazy. All right. Ultimately, that's I think a lot of people's problem is they try to cut out natural, essential parts of their personality so that they can be what they feel is best in themselves instead of accepting who they really are.
Yeah. And I realize some people are probably going, God, you guys are getting so kumbaya-ish today. But, you know, honestly, Vinny, you were meant to do what you do, my friend. You are meant to do it. That's a beautiful thing that you've owned up to what, you know, I think is your destiny and your calling. You know, and you know, I feel that personally about myself as well. So that to me is amazing. And more people need to do that if they're not already doing it. That's what changes the world. Be the change that you want to see in the world. I mean, it's as simple as that. Life is simple.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, I'm telling you, what an amazing ride we've got, and what a lot of fun, laughter, smiles, and great things that can happen. Because it's not just about being, you know, people accuse us about this fear loop. It's not about a fear loop, brother. It's about something a whole lot better than what we got going on and what we have shaken out in the world today. And it's all possible, but you just got to wake up. Wake up, my friend.
Yeah. And more to the point as well, I found that as soon as I started doing videos and started doing my own radio show, I stopped watching quite so many of other people's radio shows and other people's videos because I was too busy making my own. And I didn't feel like I was really missing out on anything. And in fact, I instead got to start to speak with those radio show hosts that I used to listen to. I got to make videos with those other YouTubers who I used to watch. Okay, take it a step forward after taking a step back, essentially, is all it is. Figure out what the heck is going on here and then plunge yourself into it like a knife into a wound. Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, just take the plunge. It may hurt, you may bleed, but for goodness sake, if you don't at least
try and do something for yourself, by yourself, you'll never realize how powerful you truly are. It's only those whose reach exceeds their grasp who found out how far they can truly reach. Christopher Green, thank you very much for your time. We'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Chris Duane.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What did we hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
We'll be right back. success.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And please, ladies and gentlemen, visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and actually have a browse around the website because they've got so much stuff, all these show schedules and different hosts and archives and stuff all over again. Brilliant website. And so is mine, for that matter. Oh, my God, the amount of different shows that I've been on, the things that I've talked about, the people that I've had on, you would not believe until you saw it for yourself. Speaking of somebody who's unbelievably fabulous, we have a very special guest, Chris Duane, Silver Shield and Silver Bullet himself. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good to be back, Vinny. Been a long time.
It has been a long time. Well, have you noticed some people, you ever had a really good mate and you haven't seen him for years, but as soon as you see him again, there's no ego about it. It's just, let's pick up where we left off.
That's right. And that's because you resonate with somebody, you share the same vibe. So you can not see somebody for many years and come back and pick up right where you left off. Those are the people you need to hold on to in your life.
This is true. And I definitely want to hold on to you. Now, what we were talking about last time I was speaking was actually about raising kids, and this is a topic that I've been interested in for a very, very long time. I mean, it's like ever since I think I was 14, I've wanted to have children and raise them really lovingly and caringly and what have you. Basically, do the opposite of what my dad did with me. Mm-hmm. And you yourself, we did this kind of conversation on the webcam, and you had your little Rugrats in the background there, being all loving and caring and what have you. And I was wondering if you'd dispense maybe even some parenting advice to truther parents out there who may or may not be struggling with their kids.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I've looked at it is probably from the same perspective as you have. I think our generation was really a generation of latchkey kids. My parents were baby boomers who sacrificed a tremendous amount to provide all the material wealth that they could while the sun was shining. And, you know, for a long time growing up, that's just the way I thought it was supposed to be. You know, parents were, you know, supposed to work, you know, ridiculous hours, not show up for games, and essentially just let us to be, you know, raise ourselves. And my whole awakening came when I found out that I was going to be a father, and I was going way down that path, the path that my parents set for me about, you know, filling out all the society checkboxes, you know, going to college and, you know, going into the Marine Corps and you know, being a successful businessman and voting and doing all this stuff. And when I started to realize I was going to have a child, I really started to fundamentally question what I was doing here on Earth. And the more I learned, the more I found out that my path was dangerously wrong. And the wonderful thing about being a parent is that you have the opportunity of not passing it along to the next generation. So, you know, I talk to a lot of people who've had a lot of personal family heartache. And, you know, for the most part, I try to tell people, say, listen, hey, you know, your parents didn't have the internet and Oprah and, you know, all these spiritual gurus that, you know, to get in touch with yourself. But you don't have that, you know, to write off anymore. You know better. And I think this is going to be the first generation that can really put the stop to a lot of problems that have been passed down generation after generation out of, you know, pure ignorance and really not knowing better. You know, if you have alcoholics in your family, I mean, you could be third, fourth, ninth generation alcoholic because they never learned to deal with reality or deal with heartaches in a positive, productive way. And that I think this generation really needs to take to task what, you know, demons have been passed on to them and conquer them, so that the next generation doesn't even know what it's like. I mean, how wonderful would it be for our children not to know debt, not to know you know, psychopathic people in their life, not to know thoughts of doubt and fear and things that plague people for their entire life. And I think that it's really imperative that people really start to, especially young parents, really take a hard look at the direction that they're going in life and see how they can be different and walk a different path so that their children will be set free. And this is what I call generational wealth. And instead of passing down generational demons, you can actually pass down generational wealth.
I was talking with my girlfriend, Sarah, yesterday about our financial situation. And she was talking about some of her friends and acquaintances, workmates, etc., whose partners earned comparable to what they do. Now, I earn much less than Sarah does, admittedly, at the moment, although I never have to ask her for money anymore, thanks in no small part to the listeners. So they've kind of fostered me, the listeners have, as sort of like this, I don't know, some guy who's doing the right thing, they get money or whatever. And but the point she was making was she wanted... Yeah, well, the point she was making was that those other people had things that we don't have. Number one, disposable income. Mm-hmm. They have houses. They have children. And I said to her, what, disposable income that gets taken away through taxation and gradually gets the interest eroded off it so it's worth basically nothing? Houses that essentially they'll, if they ever do get to own, they'll pay five times as much for it in interest as they would ordinarily. Children that they have to work so hard in order to make comparable incomes that they never get to see and never get to raise and have a life that they otherwise cannot enjoy.
Yep.
Is that what I'm supposed to be striving for here?
Yeah. And this is also plays into the fact that, you know, every 40 years or so, the currency that everybody works and strives and sacrifices for ultimately fails. And that's where we are going to be with the dollar collapse. And I think that you're going to have, hundreds, if not billions of people, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, when the fiat, debt-based, unsustainable dollar paradigm collapses, look at the ashes of their life, realizing that everything that they worked for was an illusion, and they're going to have to ask themselves, what was my purpose here on Earth? Certainly it wasn't to sacrifice time for friends and family, to earn money, to buy assets, to consume, to work harder, to spend less time with your friends and family, to consume, to be depressed and stuff like that. And I think that there is going to be an awakening, and unfortunately, most people don't have that until they've hit rock bottom. Very rare is the man that says, hey, things are pretty good, and it's not going down the right path, and maybe I should change course before that happens. And that's what I've been trying over these past couple of years, really trying to wake people up to the fact that this is an unsustainable paradigm, that you do have a greater purpose on Earth than consuming and sacrificing time for material trinkets that are ultimately prove out to be worthless. And that the greatest thing that people can do is to help other people, get rid of their abundance mentality. Then there's scientific proof that says, once a certain person reaches, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, their happiness goes up until that point. But after that point where they're able to sustain themselves without really fear and without the fear of scarcity, their happiness really doesn't go up any further, despite how much more money that they make. In fact, I would make the argument that at some point, the more money you make, the more problems you have. And the only other happiness that people will find in their life once they've reached that level where they can get rid of the scarcity mentality is to help bring others up to that exact same level of abundance. And I think that's what we're meant to be here on Earth, and this is what we can do with our friends and family and certainly for our children.
Well, have you ever seen Forrest Gump? Mama yes. always said there's only so much money a man really needs, and the rest is just for show.
And unfortunately, with the psychopathic mindset, I remember one of the most famous scenes in Wall Street 2, I think it was. These big Wall Street guys were in the room, and the young kid asked, what's your number? And the guy goes, excuse me? And he says, what's your number? What's the number that you would make where you don't need any more? And the guy says, my number is more. And that mindset of greed, that mindset of more, is only replicated in nature through cancer. And that's what we have spreading throughout our society is just this more mentality. And eventually it's going to eat the entire live host until the host dies and the cancer dies, and then, we're going to be left with what's left. And, my hope is that people can avoid the traumatic nature of an unsustainable debt-based currency like the dollar and get out of paper assets with counterparty risk and buy things that have real tangible value and start working maybe less and spending more time with the things that really do matter, which is, you know, your friends and family and things that make you happy. You know, far too often we're pursuing jobs that, you know, have some material benefit, but don't give us any spiritual benefit or make us happy at all. And, you know, there's a line from Henry David Thoreau that says most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with their heart still in their heart. And, you know, I would really challenge people, you know, start working on your song while there's still time, because afterwards you may not even have the opportunity to even pursue those dreams.
Now, if you had an option, like let's say somebody gave you two choices, you can either do something you really hate but have everything that you want, or do something that you want and have to endure things that you hate. You know, it's kind of like it's a no-win scenario, and that I believe is the main point of how society has been structured. And Edward Bernays, long ago, the father of propaganda, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, mm-hmm. did something revolutionary, where products that you would purchase no longer had intrinsic value for what the capacity of that product was to indeed fulfill your needs, mm-hmm. but in fact, products would replace emotional wants, emotional needs, that you would feel better having that car. You would be a better person having that that curling iron. You would be a much more complete individual if you had that chair or that house or that underarm deodorant. It put emotional value on things that have no emotional value. Mm-hmm. It put emotional draw cards onto things that have no emotions. And in so doing, everybody doesn't know how to be happy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Edward Bernays concentrated on the irrational desires of the person instead of the logical, rational desires. So prior to Bernays, you know, everything was sold for value and benefit. And, you know, if you had a car, it was based off of, you know, how many miles it got or something like that. And then when Bernays came into the picture, it was, you know, the famous girl is driving the car, and if you want to look and feel like her, you have to have this car. Cindy Crawford, when she drank Diet Pepsi, every woman in the world went out there and bought Diet Pepsi because they felt when they put those lips to the Diet Pepsi can that they were somehow Cindy Crawford. Completely irrational, but that's what he's tapped into. And I think it goes back to this kind of tribalism that we've had, and now we have tribal consumerism, where we identify each other not by who we are or what we do or what kind of value we bring to society, but by what brands we wear. And that's why branding is so incredibly important in this consumeristic world. And I think when the dollar collapsed and people can no longer afford the, you know, the fancy car, the fancy clothes, the fancy TV, the, you know, fancy iPhone, people will start to have to identify each other in different ways. And I think it's going to result in people starting to actually value humans for what they are and what they do.
Yeah. Do you believe that human potential is nowhere near its end point, that we're capable of so much more than we are now?
Totally. In fact, I think that despite all the doom and gloom about the single largest event in human history, which I've dubbed the dollar collapse, it is, I think, a lot more good's going to come out of it. Not during the anger phase, humanity crying out because they can no longer have their candy anymore, and the psychopaths who are going to try to sustain the unsustainable. After the anger phase burns out, humanity is going to enter the bargaining phase, where they're going to really start asking questions. And I really believe that this will be the first generation in humanity that will have the technical means and the communication and the information necessary to really find true answers. But we first have to start asking the real questions. We will also have the technical means of being able to accomplish a sustainable way of life. If you think about it, everything that we've, all of human progress has really been to about pushing things to the extreme and never things to the sustainable. And when the unsustainable dollar collapse happens, it'll be an economic imperative for people to pursue things that are sustainable, both on a economic level, but also on a moral level. You know, why waste energy on things that don't mean anything and don't pay off? And then the final revolution is really the interconnectedness. I mean, if you think about it, there's been three major revolutions in humanity. First was the agricultural revolution, where humanity learned that it had to work with the land and listen to it and be a part of it and be humble to it in order for crops to grow and to understand, you know, to work with the land. The next revolution was the Industrial Revolution. That's where humanity said, well, let's use our ingenuity to warp the land to our benefit. And this, you know, brought about a lot of technical innovation. But it also stratified society, so there was really a further top-down approach. It wasn't that humans needed to work together. You know, you could build pyramid systems, much like the, you know, the old feudalistic system, and there was a stratification of class. The third revolution of consciousness in humanity has been the information revolution. And so far that it's been around, you know, for the most part, yeah, there's interconnectedness, but what is the meaning of that interconnectedness? If you look at YouTube, you know, the most popular videos are really just nonsensical garbage. But I think when the dollar collapses, humanity will have to start taking life a lot more seriously, and then we can actually use all three of these revolutions to reach the next level of consciousness, which is the awakening.
Yeah. I say bring it on. You know, what have we got to lose that the globalists aren't going to take from us already? Let's have some kind of awakening. It's like you wake up, okay? But the thing is, after you wake up, you got to go to work, baby. And after you go to work, you got to come home again, all right? You got to come full circle, I think. We'll be right back after the break with Chris Dwayne, Silver Bullet, Silver Shield.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you loved was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcendence process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them. Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Greater X on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest from Silver Bullet Silver Shield, YouTube channel Greatest Truth Never Told, or something to that effect, Chris Dwayne. Welcome back.
I'm back, brother.
Mm-hmm. He's back in black. Like Barack Obama. My very I always like to say my very special guest for some reason, because everybody is very special. Everybody got their own story and that kind of thing. And we're talking with Chris Green, and you were on his show last week, I think. It was just kind of reminded me. It's like, oh, Chris, I haven't had him on the show for a while. And so today I've had two Chris's on the shows, you know, like the Christos. And I was kind of also thinking about this. Emotional trauma, that's what wakes people up. So, in essence, the truth movement should not fear a dollar collapse or a third world war. In fact, they should be looking forward to it as a tool for waking people up, because it'll force the emotional trauma on them and all of those blinders that currently stop them from listening to this type of information and wanting to do the right thing disappear.
That's right. Yeah, like I said before, you know, rare is the man that gets out on top and says, you know, things are really going good in my life. Let me change drastically, you know, how I'm living this life. You know, far too often people have to wait until they hit rock bottom before they change course. And, you know, this is the first time that I can think of that, you know, there's a major turn in the road with this dollar collapse. And just so people understand, every dollar that comes into existence has debt attached onto it. Every dollar that comes into existence, the debt comes, has to be rolled over every year. Every debt that comes into existence has interest attached onto it. The only way to pay for the debt and interest every year is that more debt has to be taken out in excess of the debt and interest accrued the year before. That's why if you look at any of the debt charts, whether it's the national debt, the state debt, the student debt, the credit card debt, the total amount of debt must increase, and at some point it reaches an exponential growth where the compounding interest starts coming into full effect. And we're way into that hockey stick moment. If you look at the national debt chart going out to 2020, it's almost vertical. We are not going to make this out of alive. And there's only two scenarios that end up happening with these currencies, these debt-based currencies. There's either an outright default, which only happens with nations that do not print their currency, like Greece, or the nations that do print their own currency, like us, will continue to print the unlimited amount of money necessary and unlimited amount of debt necessary, so much so that the dollar will actually lose all of its value. And I'll even point to Alan Greenspan in his congressional testimony. I think it was like 1998 or 99. Congressman asked him, you know, is it possible for us to continue paying Social Security for all these baby boomers when they come due? And Alan Greenspan's accurately said, yes, we can backstop any amount of promises for as far out and as much as you'd like. But he went on to say, the only thing I cannot guarantee is the purchasing power of those dollars. Well, that was a screaming warning sign that the end of this road is that all the dollars that you have in your bank, the functioning economy that relies on the dollars, the valuations of corporations and bonds and your house and your car and everything will ultimately become worthless. And I mean, absolutely worthless. And that the only thing that will retain value are real things that have intrinsic value. And for the most part, that's commodities, you know, your corn and your cotton and your oil and stuff that you need and use. You know, heck, even your bed and Beanie Babies would count as a real commodity because it has real tangible value, far more than some Apple stock or some derivative or some bond for some failed state. And I really suggest people to take their wealth out of the paper digital fiat world. Because all that wealth is merely a future claim on wealth. Money in itself is not really wealth. It's merely a future claim on wealth. And it only becomes worth something when you're able to exchange those dollars for something real. You know, if you have a $10,000 sitting in the bank and you never do anything with it, what good is it? It's only good when you actually can go out to Vegas and do something with it, or, you know, pay your mortgage off or buy a car or pay food or something like that. That's when it becomes worth something. And if you realize that they're going to continue to print unlimited amount of dollars, and every dollar that comes into existence implicitly liquefies all the rest of the dollars and the value that they have, it's better to get ahead of the curve. And I try to tell people, panic now so you don't have to later.
And well, fortune favors the prepared, doesn't it?
That's
and
right.
You were talking about stored wealth. Now, again, there's things with intrinsic values. Tools, for instance, have an incredible amount of intrinsic wealth because of the fact that you're capable of creating things with them.
Yeah, maybe not.
And more to the point, coming full circle, we talked about children and intergenerational wealth. In fact, having relationships with other people who are skilled and what have you is also a form of wealth, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I would probably put this real wealth into three different categories. Number one, I think the most important thing in light of this dollar collapse, the number one most important thing is for you to see the world as it is, to really use logic to pick apart. And I'd much rather have somebody who actually sees the world as it is than somebody who may have, you know, all the food and guns and silver and really not get what's going on. Because I think a prepared mind is able to assess the situation, seize opportunities, not get fooled by the latest scam. And I kind of relate that back to my Marine Corps training. The Marines are very powerful, not because of the weapons that they have, but because it's instilled in them to improvise, adapt, and overcome. And even Darwin said, it's not the strongest or the smartest that survive, it's the one that's most, the one that adapts to change the best. So I would say number one in terms of real wealth is to have your senses, to be able to logically look at the world. Number two is probably the network of the people you surround yourself with. And I would value a good friend who is moral, who will have your back, than a million, these kind of Facebook friends that really don't care about you, maybe you're a little bit narcissistic, maybe you have a touch of psychopathy, you know, now is the time to start ridding yourself of all these toxic people in your life ahead of the curve. Because when times get desperate and you're still friends with them, you're still going to have their hooks in you. And it's far better now to start weaning away these people who don't provide any real value to you, the ones that call you and you don't want to pick up the phone, or the ones that you walk into the room and you're not sure if they're in a really good mood or a really bad mood. Start getting rid of these toxic people in your life. And then after that, honestly, it's really about getting, you know, the physical assets that you need. I'd much rather have somebody who, you know, with $300 in their bank account buy $300 worth of cereal. You know, at least it has some value. At least it's something you know you're going to use, than, you know, leaving it for a bank to leverage and fund, you know, all sorts of nastiness. You know, take your money out of the banks and buy stuff that's real that you're going to use. And I'd much rather people store real wealth and stuff that they can actually touch.
Yeah. The words "I could not agree with you more" come to mind. And another store of wealth, as you mentioned, was relationships. Like, I want to be a millionaire, right? But look at it this way. A millionaire has $1 million in the bank, and he's maybe got two or three people that will sort of do anything for him. Mm-hmm. I want to have $2 or $3 in the bank, but have 1 million people who will pretty much do anything for me.
That's right. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. In fact, far too often that these psychopathic, narcissistic people who want more, and we were saying that before about Wall Street, their only relationships are the ones that they can buy. And you have to realize that when the dollar collapses, they will no longer be able to buy the loyalty of the people that they rely upon the most. In fact, if they were really smart, they would really start caring for these people who take care of them now while the dollar exists. So when the dollar dies, you know, they'll be taken care of. I'll give you an example of Conrad Hilton. You know, the founder of Hilton Hotels, he actually owned, I think, 6 or 7 hotels in the 1920s. He was a very successful hotelier. And during the Great Depression, he got caught flat-footed and lost all of his hotels. So much so that a bellman that he was kind to gave Conrad his entire life savings of that time, about $300, to keep Conrad's family fed during the most desperate times for him. And, you know, because of that generosity and the good relationships that Conrad had, when his economic obligations fell apart, his social obligations were strong enough where people still lent him money and gave him money, so much so that he was able to end up buying his first hotel again, I think in 1934 or 36, you know, many years after the Great Depression had started. And bought that hotel at 1x earnings. And that was the best investment for him because it ended up funding the billion-dollar multinational Hilton, you know, family hotels that we now know Paris Hilton for. And it was because of his generosity and social network that he had developed that sustained him through the hard times and ultimately led him to create a, you know, big empire.
Yeah. I think it's the deeds that you do come back to you. So if you do bad to people and all of a sudden you're in deep shtuck, everybody laughs at you and just goes, serves you right, mate. Mm-hmm. If you've done nothing but good to people and you fall on hard times, people just come out of the woodwork.
That's what the abundance mentality is. I think far too many people are really running on scared, running on fear. You know, if they don't go to work, they're not going to be able to feed their family. And, you know, I certainly was definitely brought up in that. I mean, my family was very successful, but they ran on fear. No matter how many millions of dollars my father had in the bank, he was always fearful he was going to lose everything and, you know, that think people are out to get him and stuff like that. And when I walked away from my family's inheritance, I, you know, knew that I didn't want to go down that toxic path, but I didn't know what I was for yet. And it took me working for another gentleman who embraced the abundance mentality. And the abundance mentality is pretty simple. You know, give as much as you can to as many people as you can without, you know, calculation, without thinking what you're going to get back. And inevitably, you'll end up getting far more than any of this, you know, hardworking or scheming or scarcity mentality traits that most Americans think are necessary to be successful in this world. And it may not come in form of of money, but it may come in form of relationships. It may come in form of opportunities that people present to you because they know that you're a good person that they want to promote. And people really should start thinking about that kind of wealth as opposed to, you know, the latest trinket in cars and bonuses and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember I used to have these real flashy belt buckles. Like I used to have one that was shaped like a $100 bill as a giant belt buckle, and another one that was like a big dollar sign that was like all encrusted with these fake gems and stuff like that. They look really cool, and I thought that I was really cool, and everybody else in my workplaces thought that it was pretty cool too. But then when I stopped earning all this money, stopped giving a frank about the next sales call, and started kind of going on about doing the right thing and exposing scumbaggery, as it were, people thought, and so did I, that suddenly I'd become much cooler than I could ever be with any flashy belt buckle. And that allowed me to prune off the deadwood. I'd always wanted to hang around with cool people. And it was only once I stopped trying to have the coolness outside of me that I had to buy, but in fact let the coolness inside of me really come out, that all of those cool people that I always wanted to hang out with suddenly now my friends.
Yeah. Well, there's this this kind of goes back to psychopathy. I mean, that more mentality, the hole that they try to fill with consumeristic and outside facade and, this whole fake, popularity and stuff like that. They're trying to emulate, really cool people. And to me, the ones that are most cool care the least about how they look and just do what resonates with them and what makes them happy. And the fact that they're free to think makes them cool. You can look at any of the really good rock guys, the ones that are not, all fashioned up and dolled up and have, all these people, really like 60s and 70s rock guys that just did what they wanted to and vibed with everybody. Those are the real cool guys. And now we have a generation of, I don't even want to say artists that, put on the outside looks of coolness, with all the brands and, cars that they pimp out and stuff like that. And the reality is that they're fake, shallow, insecure people covering up an empty hole in their life. And that, unfortunately, a lot of Americans think that's the way it should be. And when this dollar collapse happens, you're going to see a lot of these, very wealthy celebrities all of a sudden, be very poor.
Yeah. And that's not cool.
No.
All right. Chris Dwayne is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Only one more segment. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, I swear, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we record them and keep them up on the archive section of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com for you to download later and share out if you wish. Also, if you're capable of donating a monthly $5 to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, right there on the homepage for you. Thank you very much for your support. We'll be right back.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified, abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, the way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed. Excuse me? People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, you know, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. Ah, there goes one out. Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. Kind of brings a whole new meaning to that phrase, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Bonkers.
Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let Sunday Eve give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome
Some
back.
People pay for thrills, but I
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. To the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide because the world's so full of chaos and madness, you go friggin' nuts. Speaking of being friggin' nuts, I mean, look at it this way. We live in an upside-down society, don't we, Chris? The people who are ridiculed and called insane, they're actually the sane ones, and the people that are keeping their head down, ignoring all the reality around you, they're actually the real crazy ones, you know? And I was just thinking about this. I presume having had 5 million plus video hits or whatever, that there has been heaps of lambasting and abuse and accusations coming at you from these pituitary brain spasm individuals who have no life and are not doing anything good for other people.
No.
Suddenly think they're better than you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, despite all that, I know of probably about 10 to 20 out of, I don't know, the 25,000 people who have, come to, subscribe to my site, that, given me troubles. And the thing that I tell, what I deal with them is the same thing I do in my own personal life. I have no time for toxic people in my life. And it's with YouTube, it's very simple. You just stop you know, you ban them and you know, remove their comments and stuff like that, and you don't have to worry about them anymore. So, you know, what you do on YouTube is what you should do in real life, is just get rid of these people. They, you know, they're toxic people. You know, I was talking earlier about these, you know, these psychopaths that suck your life from you. You know, this is the time to get rid of them.
You mean, it's absolutely right. And it's like, who was I talking to? I was talking to a radio show host called Rick. He does Honey Radiance Radio. And he'd actually taken his radio show off air because there were a bunch of people in his chat room that were abusing him and giving him grief, and he was interrupting his radio show to address their grievances and try to make them like him. And I said to him, Rick, here's the point. You can either spend your time with the people who care about you and support you, or you can spend your time on the people who hate you and don't.
That's right.
Make a decision.
Never change. That's the other thing. I don't think that the average good person really gets that psychopaths get physically off on conflict. They love spreading misery. And it's so important for good people just to get rid of them. Just don't talk to them. Don't change them. They'll never change on their own. And it's far better for you to just move on doing the things that make you happy than spending 1 second trying to address some psychopath who, you know, loves spreading pain and misery to other people.
Danny Romero, who owns this network, he gave me a very wise dude, right? He said, Vinny, everybody ends up exactly where they deserve to be.
Yeah, and, you know, if you are surrounded by people who are, you know, misery loves company, well, then that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just like the same for your mind and your social circles, the same for your body. You know, get as many toxins out of it as possible and put as much good nutrients into it as possible. You know, it's pretty straightforward.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, what are people thinking about? I mean, what's more important in your life than exposing scumbaggery and hanging out with cool people that are actually cool and really care?
Well, we have to figure out what our purpose here is on Earth, and if it's to, you know, to consume and do things that you know, make other, I don't even know who it makes happy. You know, you're going to end up being a miserable person, and you're going to be surrounded by miserable people, and you're going to die a miserable person. You know, so start taking these things very seriously, and you know, wake up. You know, do something positive for people. And if you're feeling bad about yourself, do something positive for somebody else. Make somebody else's life better.
Yeah, I remember this one time I saw this Facebook posting, and there's a girl standing in the doorway and a dude at a computer. And the girl says, "Baby, come to bed." And the dude at the computer says, "No, somebody on the internet is wrong."
Exactly. And I mean, to be honest, I went through a good bit of that for a while. I mean, you know, it's tough sometimes to rid yourself of these toxic people, but you have to. It's a means of you know, preparing yourself for a different life. And I try to tell, you know, what would I tell my little girl, you know, going through you know, school and stuff, you know, to argue and to fight with people? No, the best thing for you to do is to, you know, find the good people in your life, and then you don't have to worry about these things. Yeah, and embrace these people.
It's a waste of time. I just found out there was this other time, right, where somebody was giving me abuse, telling me they'd never amount to that. One person, I think it was Dr. Judy Wood, just kind of blew me off, was really angry with me. And I asked her if she was tired, you know, because she'd been doing all these conferences and all these radio appearances around the time of 9/11 this year. And she says, I'm done. And never contacted me back again because she thought that I'd insulted her.
Really?
And then I get this, and then I get this angry email from this other dude who comes out and says, "Vinny, you're a bad man. You're completely unprofessional. I'm going to prevent Max Kaiser and Jesse Ventura and all of these people from coming on your show. You'll never amount to anything." And I was just like, I spent a few minutes just kind of freaking out, like, oh my God, my career's being sabotaged, you know, for the first time ever, and da 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 da. And then something clicked.
Don't listen to those toxic people. You know, they said they're going to do all these
things to you. They actually do have the ability to do that, right? And these are people who are very well connected who I've suddenly made enemies with. But then something clicked. I've just had bridges burned, but I didn't burn those bridges, but I can construct more of them. So within 15 minutes of that incident and my little freak out, I'd suddenly organized two really major A-list guests to get on my show, and also had been organized and requested by two other major radio show hosts to go on their shows, and also was invited down to a conference and being the first media person to be on there. And I was just like, whoa. That's me. I am brilliant. And whoever tries to deny me my right to do what I wish to do for the right purposes, they will succeed at nothing.
That's right. You're the master of your own domain, and anybody who tries to tell you differently is an insecure person that needs to control you for their own selfish gains. And it's far better just to, you know, work on your own skills and, you know, make your own connections, and you'll be fine, man. Don't ever worry about toxic people. Just get rid of them.
Yeah. And sure enough, that's what I did. And look at it this way. You've got the options here, and it's kind of like a toolbox, you know, and the more experiences you have with the more people, the larger your toolbox and the range of tools you have at your disposal becomes. And as I was saying before about being a millionaire, only having $1 million in the bank and three people that'll do anything for you versus having $3 in the bank and having 1 million people who'll do anything for you, it comes to the point where it's about giving. Giving, 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 and then you get back, get back, get back, get back. And it's a constant cycle that reinforces itself, that is in itself its own motivation of doing the right thing.
Well, and again, I bring back to the same point that the only happiness you'll ever find in your life is the day that you get rid of the scarcity mentality, where you can provide for your friends and family and it without, you know, worrying about fear or anything like that. And the only other, you know, happiness you'll ever find in your whole life is bringing somebody else up to that same level. It's not in excess of, you know, whatever gets you past that scarcity mentality. It's then, you know, mentoring. It's being supportive. It's giving opportunities. It's watching people flourish, watching people become who they're meant to be. That's the ultimate goal of where we need to go in life.
And that's one of the essences of good parenting too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, if at the very least you work on your kids and find happiness with them and support them and provide them a better sense of parenthood than that you never got, you know, you'll be far better off.
Yeah. I mean, what do you got to lose, ladies and gentlemen? and you know, I'll just think back. You know how many of my high school friends I'm still actually friends with, Chris?
I can tell you how many I am. Zero.
Me too.
Yep.
You know, because you realize, this is something my producer told me over the break. Is he told his girls, look, those people who peak when they're in high school, they never get past that peak and they never get any better and their life is over.
Oh,
the people who don't peak in high school, on the other hand, they start peaking at 20 to 30, 5 years old or something of that nature, and they start going into the stratosphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. My daughter, who's 7 years old, she goes, you know, Dad, what do you do for a living? I said, you know, I do YouTube videos. She goes, really? Like Justin Bieber? I said, well, maybe not Justin Bieber, but, you know, I teach people on YouTube, you know, much like your teacher. And she thought that was pretty cool. So it's pretty cool to, you know, have your little 7-year-old daughter think what you do is pretty cool. And the reason why I'm doing it is because I'm improving people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way I look at it, bro, we're putting a lot of money into that big karma piggy bank in the sky. Right. Chris, thanks so much for your time. And where's your website that people can find you?
So long again.
When's your website? Where's your website people can go to?
Oh, just go to The Greatest Truth Never Told on YouTube. We got 5 million views in 1 year. So we've been really putting a lot of effort towards that. You can go to don't-tread-on.me for my main site. I just started isecede.org, which is basically telling people or enabling people to say, hey, don't join another group. Take care of yourself.